savings may vary. A month equals 30 days. Please refer always to the latest terms and conditions of service at straighttalk.com.
Welcome into the Gym Class Monday edition coming your way right here on KGYM. Coming up, a crazy weekend in the world of sports, both on and off the field, college football, pro football, and we will talk about it. Michael Loss will stop by from the Cedar Rapids Gazette, get his views on Iowa and Penn State. Look ahead to Iowa State and Texas. That'll be coming up on Thursday night as well. Your comments are welcome on a Monday edition of the show. It comes your way next on KGYM. And coming your way from the studios here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids, it is the Gym Class here on a Monday at 3:04. Scott Unash alongside Mark Dukes, former sports editor of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, Kyle Mann, our producer. And we thank you as always for joining us here on the program. Lots to talk about in the world of sports, not all of it sports. And I know you've been listening to ESPN and all sorts of sports talk over the last probably 40 hours or so, kind of break things down non-sports wise. And we'll touch upon that coming up on the program today. We got a lot, got to look back in Iowa and Penn State from Saturday night. Of course, we had our post-game show here from the studio and talked about it. Got a lot of interaction with the people out there, and that was a whole lot of fun. So we'll kick that around with Mike Loss and you out there at 319-366-1600. And there was some NFL football yesterday and some utter craziness that came about from yesterday's games. We enter the final week of the Major League Baseball season. Cal Elder will join us coming up tomorrow, but pretty much aside from the final spot in the American League and National League wildcards, it's not a real scintillating last week of the Major League Baseball season, and we'll talk about that a little bit today, but mainly tomorrow coming up on the program. Mark, how are you?
Really good, and I'd echo your comments. I mean, what a crazy weekend. You talk about the NFL, and there were so many surprising results, but yet it was overshadowed by what happened before the games even started. And again, we'll talk about that. But baseball, yeah, I mean, the Cubs, you'd anticipate the Cubs wrapping up their third division championship in a row.
Coming up.
That didn't happen very often, you know? No. I thought about that today.
Not really.
Three division championships in a row.
Is it two, though?
Is it two or three?
Two, because they made it as a wild card in 15. Because they had to play the Pirates in the wild card game. So, two straight. They'd love to take three.
And they might.
And they might, but it's two, I believe, right now.
You anticipate the Cubs wrapping that division up very soon. The Twins on the cusp of a second wild card berth. The Yankees winning today 11-3. Aaron Judge hitting his 49th and 50th home runs of the season, breaking Mark McGwire's rookie record. Yeah, the Twins' reward for getting that second playoff berth, should it happen, a visit to Yankee Stadium.
Thank you
very much.
Which has been a house of horrors for the Minnesota Twins since it was built.
Yeah.
And even going back to the old Yankee Stadium, the Twins haven't fared very well. But yeah, baseball is getting into the final week, and Twins are off today. They are at Cleveland coming up tomorrow night and Wednesday night, and we'll join both of those games beginning at 7 o'clock. And of course, should the Twins make it, we will have interesting next Tuesday, because this is what I think is going to happen. We'll have the Twins call on 107.5 FM and have the ESPN National call on 1600 and 106.3 FM. Mark, did you ever think you'd get Minnesota Twins baseball in all three frequencies?
Not by any means.
But you're loving it.
I mean, at that point, it'd be gravy for the Twins. And we'll talk to Cal Elder more about this tomorrow in his baseball segment, but just doing what the Twins have done this year has been a joy.
Yeah, that's been a joy. I would imagine yesterday at about 1:30 or so, it wasn't a joy, as you were watching Marcus Cooper return a blocked field goal at a halftime. Again, for things that actually happened on the field yesterday, as the Chicago Bears at that time were in a were in a, you know, in a knockdown dragout with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And Mr. Cooper, when is this going to end? I don't know. We've seen it here locally with Iowa football players. We've seen it with Leon Lett. We've seen it all over the place. I don't know what comes across a young man's mind when they think that they are going to go score a touchdown and they stop before the goal line. Again, happened yesterday with Marcus Cooper. He got really lucky, or he might be on the unemployment line today for the Chicago Bears.
It was a really bonehead play and came on a blocked kick and should have resulted in a touchdown, as you said, as it was. It resulted in he was down at the one-yard line and the Bears couldn't get it in. Had to kick a field goal. So it very well could have cost them a game, but the Bears did come back and beat the Steelers in overtime. One of many really weird results in the NFL.
One of the many long discussions and long reviews that happened yesterday in the National Football League. And is it to the point now? I mean, the Bears, I think poetic justice that they won. And I know we got a lot of Steelers fans out there, and I don't want to alienate the Steelers fans out there, but there are a lot of Bears fans. But you got to the point, Mark, where they, in overtime, it looked like the Bears had scored and won, that it was over with. And then all of a sudden, replay reared its ugly head again. And was he out of bounds?
You're talking about Coleman?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, is it getting to the point now where it's just too much that they're so in tune with getting everything absolutely right that we just overanalyze even the smallest, most minute details in the National Football League?
I know what you're saying, but I don't think you can have it both ways. Either you want every call to be reviewed and be accurate or as accurate as possible, or you want to eliminate, you know, some of the replays that would get it right, you know, just for the sake of speeding up the game. I don't think you can have it both ways.
That's why I say, baseball, be careful of what you wish for. Mm-hmm. Be very, very careful if you want balls and strikes being called by a computer or by whatever means they elect to do that. Be very, very careful.
It's hard to pick a lead on this show. As one of our texters said, get to the lead, and that's the Hawks. Well,
you got
a lot of things happen in the NFL.
Absolutely.
We talked about the Hawks 2 days ago, and we'll continue to do that with Mike Halas, Gazette sports columnist.
But you got,
maybe that's fair. I don't know.
It is. But we, there are a lot of things to talk about. And you have everything going on with the National Football League yesterday. And yes, ESPN has talked about it ad nauseum. Everybody has talked about it. It's not very often that you get a story that CNN, all the major news networks, and all the major sports networks are talking about. And I am not here to give my opinion on it because there's no reason for me to give my opinion. And I don't know how you feel about it, Mark. We talked about it earlier on today. Everyone has their opinion. From LeBron James coming out to Bob Costas talking on CNN to every football player that has had a microphone in front of them over the weekend in the National Football League. Everyone has their own take on it, and it's all a gray area. There is no right answer. There is no wrong answer to all of this. It's just your personal view on it. And I could say, well, you know, I don't agree with this. And we'll get 75 texters here to say, what are you talking about? You're an idiot. Same thing with what you would say. And there'd be 60 more that are saying, why are you saying that? There's no right or wrong answer to this situation.
Well, it's certainly a divisive topic. All you have to do is turn on the television or follow social media in the last 24 to 48 hours. And I was watching the White House press briefing today, as I do almost every day, and it looked like SportsCenter because all the questions were about the NFL protests, and maybe rightfully so. You know, we don't like to mix politics and sports here, and I've asked myself, is this a news story or a sports story?
It's both.
I would agree with that. It's a sports story because of the protesters and what they do for a living.
Well, the other thing is,
I respect everyone's right to express an opinion. Personally, I feel this is the wrong vehicle. During the national anthem, if you disagree with the president's rhetoric or racial tensions or whatever the social or political issue is, there are other venues to do so besides during the national anthem. And that's my opinion. I have a right to that. And I just don't think it's the time or the place to do it. And I'd tell any NFL player that to his face.
Bob Costas on CNN earlier today came up, I thought, had a very interesting thing to say. And he said that the reason why it is coming up during the national anthem at sporting events is because you don't hear the national anthem at other places. You don't start your work day by gathering and playing the national anthem. You don't go to the movie theater. And before the film is shown, you don't play the national anthem. You play the national anthem prior to a sporting event. And that is the vehicle for which many people, starting with Colin Kaepernick, have chose to make the statement, whether they're in unification as NFL people against what President Trump said, or if you are taking a knee or whatever the case may be. Which I see his point. That was an excellent point out there by Bob Costas.
Was the rhetoric popular on the part of the president? Probably not. He should probably apologize. And it doesn't matter whether I'm a Trump guy or not. I think what he said, using the SOB reference.
Well, he doesn't think a lot before he
went a little far, okay? But this is a different president. We've got to remember that. Apart from the politics, I'll just say again, I just don't think it's the time or the place during the national anthem. And why do we see it in the NFL?
I see it
from one player in Major League Baseball, from the Oakland Athletics.
So far. Yeah, and I really think this is going to just, the fuse is going to be lit during the NBA season.
Absolutely.
It is going to be a very, very interesting first couple of weeks of the NBA season. Not so much, well, I even think for the exhibition season as well, the preseason. But not as much as when the NBA gets into full mode in late October, early November.
Protests are nothing new. One of the texters referred to the Tommy Smith and John Carlos.
Oh, absolutely.
Fists in the air during the Olympics and during the national anthem. And those of us who are of age can certainly remember that. I can't remember his given name, but the NBA player about 20 years ago, Abdul Rauf, or is that what his name was? Chris Jackson.
Not ours.
And he had a protest, and there were some NFL protests in the mid-90s, but nothing to this extent.
Yeah. 319-366-1600 at 16 past the hour of 3 o'clock. If you want to give your opinion on it, we'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, 9121, as an NFL fan for a number of years, I'm really disappointed in the NFL players. I have a 10-year-old girl, and she said, "Dad, the president is really mad," and asked why. And then she says, "Why are the players kneeling for our flag?" And we have LeBron James saying that people look up to our president. Well, us as fans and our children, they look up to professional athletes. It's a big disappointment to us as fans, and hopefully we can figure this thing out quickly, because I'm so upset, I'm about to cancel my NFL package.
I've heard that from many people around the country listening to shows over the last, well, basically the last 24 to 30 hours or so. And that seems to be... the NFL's taking a hit from this. They're going to take a financial hit. There is no doubt about it. You're going to see empty seats, and you're going to see people dropping the NFL package, or whatever the case may be. Listen on radio if you'd like. We encourage you to do so.
3844 on the text line. Fire the ones that kneel. 0975, I do appreciate your opinions on the anthem, as it's too easy to hide behind issues. Your perspective is interesting on all issues which is why you have the soapbox.
Well, and again, I am not going to give my personal opinion because, like I said, I
don't have a problem giving my opinion. I mean, and I respect your right, Scott, to refrain from that. My bottom line is, again, I respect everyone's rights to express their opinion. I just don't think it's the right time or place. Request an audience with the president.
Well, there's the other thing.
Mr. President, call in LeBron James and Colin Kaepernick and whoever else and sit down, and maybe both sides can be educated about whatever issues are out there.
I would agree with that very much so. I would agree with that very much so. Here's the thing. They're talking today that the Golden State Warriors, well, they're missing a golden opportunity. I heard Charles Barkley say this. They're missing a golden opportunity to go in and talk to the president. No. Here's the deal. When these teams visit the White House, they don't spend the day with the president. It is a photo opportunity, everyone. They may be around the president for 15 minutes to a half an hour. It is a photo opportunity. Trust me, the president is not clearing his schedule to sit down with Steph Curry for the day and talk politics and talk shop. That's not the way it goes. And I thought that was, I wanted to get that out there. Though I will say this, the one thing I agree on, I'm not sure this is the right vehicle to show it. I think headway can be made, like you said, if we come up with a group that goes to see President Trump, the leaders of our country. I think some headway can be made, but
I think the protesters have different agendas, too. I don't think it's just Trump's inflammatory or alleged inflammatory comments. It goes back to racial tensions and police shootings and social injustice or perceived social injustice. I don't think all the players that knelt yesterday had all the same agenda necessarily, but it was fueled probably by what the president said in his tweet.
Yeah. Let's go to Ben in Olwine. He wants to talk about the anthem and the Hawkeyes as well. Ben, good afternoon.
Hey, guys. Interesting topic. I was just going to say for the Hawkeye game today, that was actually, I think, one of the best advertisements for the school they've had in several years. I think back to almost the Cy-Hawk game in 2002. That was, obviously a devastating loss, losing so late, but I mean you're playing against that's Saquon Barkley. I don't know what to compare him to, so I'll go with Bo Jackson on Tech Mobile. That's I was thinking of running backs that I compare him to, and I mean Barry Sanders, obviously. In my lifetime, I'm not quite 40 years old. That guy is, you can't stop him. That's ridiculous.
I agree.
That was real quick on the anthem. First Amendment. I'll give you all that. The real disgrace was what happened in Britain. The London game.
Mm.
I cannot believe that people would salute the Union Jack and kneel for the national anthem. It's not 1790. That just blows my mind that you would be on foreign soil and do that. And really, I mean, where does this stop? Do people get offended because, a state flag may have the borders of the country on it? I think so much of this is media driven. So much of it is national media driven that the more you talk about it, the more you bring it up every time, there's some tragedy with a young person that happens to be not white. It's a tragedy everywhere. But at the same time, when the media just drives this stuff home and really makes no effort to report it factually, I suppose that's my opinion. I may sound biased to it, but I'm not going to say pro-Trump, anti-Trump, what he did. I mean,
these people were
offended by what he said. But you can't be offended by the people who say what they're saying that, you know, classes of people are getting their civil rights violated every single day. But you can't be offended by that. You know, I mean, it's kind of a, there's no argument there. It's a one-sided debate. I guess that's my opinion, fellas. Thanks for bringing it up, and have a good day.
Thanks, Ben. Appreciate that. 319-366-1600. A couple more minutes, and we're going to turn things over to Mike Colas. We will talk Iowa-Penn State more about Saquon Barkley, who, by the way, Big Ten Offensive Player of the Week this week.
38:05, enough already. This is a sports talk show. Let's hear some sports.
I feel like Todd Show with Alex.
No. This is one of the top issues in sports today, is it not?
Yeah. Well, and it ties into sports because of the fact, well, you had everything going on the field with the NFL teams, and then you had the absolute opposite yesterday in the NASCAR Monster Energy Cup Series, where everybody stood at attention.
And Richard Childress went so far as to say he'd fire anybody on his team who didn't stand during the national anthem.
Yeah.
And I think Jerry Jones just said the same thing, has he not, of the Dallas Cowboys?
Well, yes and no. Then you get into interesting things where you have owners that gave money to the Donald Trump campaign, and some were out there, some were not out there. It gets into very muddy gray area there. 319-366-1600. Let's get a couple more in here before we get to a break and get to Mike Colas. Stephen Blairstown, he wants to talk about Saquon Barkley here and the Big Ten Offensive Player of the Week. Steve, good afternoon.
Hi, guys. I've heard enough about all the stuff with Stephen Curry and everybody, so I thought I'd try something different. But, you know, I'm a little bit older than most people, been calling into the show, and I'd say Barry Sanders is probably the best back I've seen until I've seen this guy. But another guy compares, I don't know, Mark, you'll remember him for sure, was, what about O.J.? He was awful good back in his day, too.
He was actually, Scott, on our post game, Steve, two really good observations, by the way. Scott did refer to Sanders on the postgame show, and I think that's really spot on from what we've seen.
A bigger Barry Sanders, though. Much bigger Barry Sanders.
Exactly.
He was terrific at Oklahoma State, and I know this generation here, and we appreciate the call. Thank you, Steve. But the generation right now growing up, I don't know if they appreciate Barry Sanders for what he was. Go back and look at some of the runs on YouTube. Give a Google to Barry Sanders and watch what he did at Oklahoma State. Watch what he did for the Detroit Lions. He was very, very special.
Darryl from Marion on the text line, Barkley looked as good as McCaffrey did in the Rose Bowl. Only difference is that our defense played out of their minds. Awesome game, even though it was a loss. I still feel they won the game. In regards to the protest, NASCAR and NHL on one side, NFL and NBA on the other, baseball just keeps its head down.
Well, like you said, there was one. Oakland A, I do believe. Is that correct?
That I know of.
Yeah, they did. Kyle, hi. How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Are you protesting our subject matter?
I'm here sitting on the stool. I'm not exactly sure where that puts me here in the studio. But I did kind of want to come in and at least present a kind of a counterpoint, because I, over the weekend and today, seen a lot of people kind of say, you know, why does it have to be the anthem? Why during the anthem? Why protest the anthem? You know, that's supposed to be one of the you know, designated opportunities for everybody to be unified. But I think in some ways that's exactly why they're doing it during the anthem, because, you know, it's getting a huge reaction. And the reason that, you know, it's supposed to be one of those moments where everybody stands and has respect for the flag. And so you see these players out there, they're kneeling. You know, that's supposed to make you notice. You know, you're supposed to notice that. You're not necessarily supposed to like it. It's supposed to make you think to yourself, you know, what's going on with that? You know, what are those guys getting at? And so they're not doing it to offend the anthem. They're not doing it to offend you. You've already had some guys come out and specifically say, you know, this isn't about, you know, this isn't anti-military or anything like that. You know, we just have a message and we're trying to get people to hear it. And so I don't, maybe You know, maybe you could get an audience with the president, but I don't know how, you know, how much help that will actually do. The anthem is one of the times where they can get a lot of attention and get people talking about what they want them to be talking about. And here we are doing it.
Yeah. I think we can get things done if we get a blue ribbon panel together. But everyone's got to be on board with that situation. So, all right, we got to get to Mike. We got to get to Iowa State or Iowa and Penn State. Thanks, Kyle. Appreciate that. We'll take a break, come back, and we will, even though I do believe that this goes from sports to life. We'll get back to sports and talk Iowa.
No, I'm going to talk to Halas about the protests.
Well, yeah, we'll ask him. We'll ask him about it. But we'll talk a little bit about what happened on Saturday night and look ahead to Thursday night as well, because Iowa State, Texas is going to be fun. That's going to be a whole lot of fun. All right, back with more of the Gym Class coming your way next here on KGYM.
Good sportsmanship matters during the game and in life. So Fairfax State Savings Bank and the Gym are proud to shine the spotlight on KGYM's community MVP.
Recognizing good sports around here and letting you know how to get in the game too.
Don't miss the Sweetgrass Flute Nature Festival, September 29th through October 1st at Prairie Woods in Hiawatha. There'll be lots to see and do, including musical performances, shopping, workshops, and more. There's no event like it. Plus, it's free and everyone is welcome.
Details at KGYMradio.com. Click on Community MVP.
Check, check, and check. Whole to-do list done. And it's game time.
I only gave you that list an hour ago.
Right.
You fixed the dishwasher, washed the dog, and got us a mortgage in less than an hour?
Yep. Dishwasher was simple, Bruno was no trouble, and I got us an online mortgage at Fairfax State Savings Bank, where we were approved in like 20 minutes.
You demand, babe. Let's watch that game. High five.
Fairfax State Savings Bank. Visit thebankhere.com for a mortgage or refinance today. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
1600 ESPN Radio is testing its emergency alert system equipment.
This has been a test of the emergency alert system.
Each week, KGYM recognizes a local sports team for the win in the community. The Metro Spotlight is brought to you by Carpenters Union, Local 308 in Cedar Rapids, and Local 1260 in Iowa City.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to Nationals this year! Sorry, that's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, this is Tiki Barber. My football career taught me the importance of being prepared for game time. And now that I own multiple businesses, being prepared means having capital when I need it. That's where Cabbage comes in, with flexible lines of credit of up to $150,000. Apply online and get a decision right away. Withdraw funds when you need them without reapplying. Cabbage has supported over 100,000 small businesses. Get started at cabbage.com/gametime or 888-CABBAGE. That's Cabbage with a K, 888-CABBAGE.
Line of credit is subject to credit approval. See terms and conditions.
Eastern Iowa sports is their domain. Back to the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on KGYM.
Back with you at 3:32 here on the Gym Class on KGYM. Thanks for all the texts out there on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. Mike Halas standing by. We'll talk to Mike coming up here in a moment. A couple more that you want to get to real quick here.
Yeah, it's hard to pick, and I'm sorry I can't get to all of them, but a few other texts. 4759, the same people that hate the anthem protests are the same people who are pressing a race. If people change their racist views, players will change their stance. 5551, however, doing it during the anthem has distracted from the entire point that it is being protested. That's why I think if they really want to increase awareness, they could do it during their press conferences or take out ads on TV.
Hmm. Well, and it's been suggested by some sports, high-profile sports people, that try to make change within the community that they have. I agree with that last texter right there, and some are. And some are taking up the mantle and moving with it, and that's a part of this. That's what it needs to do to grow, to get everything going. Really believe that. All right, 3:33, Mike Halas set to join us right now. And Mike, of course, with the Cedar Rapids Gazette, the fine sports columnist. You can follow him on Twitter at Halas. And you can also follow him at thegazette.com. And Mike, good afternoon. What a, tell you what, it was a sports weekend that was everywhere on the map, wasn't it?
Yeah. It just goes to show what sports means in America, huh?
Yeah, it does. And well, let's start off with Saturday night in Iowa City, and that one was a very interesting game, a very strange game, I guess, as maybe the strangest point of all was the fact Iowa ran one play in Penn State territory in the first half and yet had a lead at halftime. Have you ever been around a game like that?
I've been around games like that statistically, but they usually were 41-14, like
yes.
The one in Penn State last year.
Yes. Well, we were talking in the post game that we gave. Okay, if you said Penn State was going to have 580 yards, held Iowa to 250 or whatever the case may be, Iowa would have 80 yards rushing. Saquon Barkley would set a Penn State record for total all-purpose yards, what do you think the score would be?
Right. Well, the difference between last year and this year was simple. Penn State couldn't finish drives, and Iowa was, you know, responsible for that. And so, you know, I think that just is the difference between playing at home and playing on the road. At home last year, Penn State, you know, it was a machine, and Iowa was feeble defensively. Well, okay, Penn State puts together just as much of an offensive attack between the 20s in Iowa City, but combination of the crowd and a spirited defense, they don't finish these things off, and you've got a close game. But, you know, if you want to step back a little ways, it's two straight years in which Penn State's offense has completely dominated Iowa's defense, and Iowa's offense was not up to snuff against Penn State's defense. This time, however, because of a series of, you know, really good defensive plays at opportune times, Iowa was one play from winning the thing.
You refer to the crowd, Mike, and I made the point in the postgame of saying that I don't think you can underestimate what that crowd meant to Iowa during this game. We've seen similar atmospheres at other games, particularly at night, but I thought in this one in particular, it made a difference.
Sure, it did. I didn't see it on. I mean, I was at the stadium and didn't see it on TV, but I saw a replay yesterday, and it jumped right off the screen. You don't see that in too many college games. I'll tell you what. I was thinking about this weekend since. Late in the 2015 season, Iowa has been in four games that I would call, you know, the word gets overused, but I would say classics.
Mm-hmm.
Michigan State in the Big Ten title game, Michigan obviously last year, and two in the last 3 weeks, Iowa State and then Penn State. And, boy, I tell you what, you can go years without seeing one of those, and we have. There just aren't that many in a season. Period in college football, and here we've had a couple at our doorstep.
Have you, and I'm probably overlooking some games, but even in a loss, and I'm sure we'll hear tomorrow from Kirk Ferentz, nobody likes to lose, just like we heard from Matt Campbell after the Iowa State game, he was on the other side of things. Nobody likes to lose, but you ever seen a game that Iowa lost, but maybe made more strides nationally in, Or am I making too much of that?
I don't know. You might be. You might not. I mean, I guess, yeah, there were some strides. I mean, the thing is, Penn State had 99 plays, so I'm hesitant to completely trash the defense.
Mm-hmm.
I watched a condensed replay mm-hmm. yesterday, and Iowa's defense made a lot of big plays. I mm-hmm. mean, Josie Jewell and Anthony Nelson and Amani Hooker and Neiman, A.J. Epiniza. There were a lot of nice plays made, but I also have never seen more missed tackles in one game by an Iowa team, I think, than I've ever seen. Part of that maybe 98% of that was the skills of Saquon Barkley.
Mike, I thought that you and the whole crew did a tremendous job in Sunday's paper, and I know I've been in that situation, how difficult it is to write on deadline, but I thought the pictures and the words really were remarkable. Save some quotes because you didn't have any time. But in a game like that, somebody hasn't been in your shoes. Is it hard to find the right words to describe what you just saw?
Well, you can't adequately do it. Nobody wants to hear about our problems, and I don't really, you know, I wouldn't want to
share
them with anybody. But I think part of what you're getting at is the flip-flops in that game in the last 3 minutes of that game.
Mm-hmm.
Try and write a commentary or a column about that when you have no idea how it's going to turn out, or just when you think you do, it changes again. And they say we want it right after the game's over. But that said, that was the most challenging thing I think I've ever had to write on deadline because of all the drama that was jammed into those last couple of minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It was insane. But we get it done somehow, and we move on, and we don't expect anybody to. I mean, look, it's not like actual work.
Yeah. Saquon Barkley. It's just fresh in our mind what he just did at Kinnick Stadium. Can you contrast and compare to any other opposing player you've seen in your career?
Yeah, a lot of people have asked that since late Saturday night. And I hate throwing superlatives around because you forget somebody and time clouds our memories. We've seen players go off against Iowa, and we've seen Iowa players do likewise to opponents, and there have been some great performances. Ron Dane, Lorenzo White, Eddie George, Sienna Wallace,
mm-hmm.
Antoine Randall-El was an Iowa killer. But I watched, like I said, I watched a replay of this thing yesterday, and it was, I used the word Saturday night, I use it again, it was otherworldly. Barkley was beyond belief, and not just a time or two, time after time after time after time. The number of plays that so easily could have been losses that he turns into 7 and 8 yard gains, the things he did on the sidelines.
His hurdling effort on that last drive was the play of the game in my mind.
Yeah, yeah. And then, McSorley, look, I'm telling you, if Penn State had an average Big Ten starting running back, of course it doesn't win that game.
Mm-hmm.
If it has an average Big Ten starting quarterback, it doesn't win that game. McSorley on that final drive was, nothing short of brilliant.
It was the best I had seen a running back individually play since I think it was 1988. Barry Sanders in Ames, when he just ran roughshod over Iowa State that day. This kid, he's a lot bigger than Barry Sanders, but he's got you don't see the jump cuts like that. And then that play that you guys talked about where he leaped the defender, got hit in midair, and it didn't seem to faze him any. Man alive.
There's no coaching that. There's absolutely no coaching that to say if we get a third and six and a tight, you got to leap over a standing cornerback. That's talent. That's all it is. That's 100% of what it is.
Mike, we've gotten a couple texts here pointing out the Children's Hospital tradition. Short-lived one at that, but it just was rolled out this year, and folks are familiar with everyone in the stands waving. What does that look like to you from the press box?
It's hard for me to really get a flavor for it because the fans who are waving are quite a ways from me, and then people in the hospital are a long ways from
me.
So I'm probably less equipped to talk about that than anybody. I know it's gotten them the kind of publicity that money can't buy nationally. The TV people apparently raved about it Saturday night, and there have been, you know, flowery things written about it from national outlets. So it's just, you know, and but to me, the great thing about it is it was organic. It wasn't some gimmick that the university devised. It was just something that somebody on social media said, hey, wouldn't it be cool if we did this? And somebody else said, yeah, that's not a bad idea. Let's do that. And before you know it, you've got the whole world agreeing.
Yeah. Iowa goes to East Lansing on Saturday. Michigan State got humbled at home by Notre Dame in a game that I think they wanted to trot out the fact that Michigan State football was back. They didn't trot that out. And now Mark D'Antonio, the seat's getting hotter and hotter up there, even though this is a replay of the Big Ten championship game from a couple of years ago. But Iowa, if they have any dreams of winning the Big Ten West, they can't start 0-2, can they?
No, especially because Wisconsin doesn't play Penn State or Ohio State. So if you start 0-2, you're going to have to win in Madison and then, you know, still get some help. So, no, you've got to win this game. And they're three-point underdogs, which I guess surprised me just a little bit, but then the more you think about it, why should it? Michigan State statistically got the better of Notre Dame in that game, had over 100 more yards, but they couldn't hang on to the ball. And they've got a young team. They don't run the ball very well. Their offensive line got dominated by Notre Dame. Their tight ends and receivers aren't very good blockers. They didn't put any heat on Notre Dame's quarterback. Not great. Losing by 20 points at home. So, you know, weird sports. The end of the 2015 season, you're in the championship game with those guys, and they are 5-11 since, I believe. And if you look at D'Antonio's one-loss record at Michigan State, it's really shocking because I think he's like 92-43 or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Would you tell a fan to be more or less optimistic about the season after this game?
More because somebody in a parkade at Kinnick Saturday afternoon said that he thought it was a good time for Iowa to play Penn State. And his buddy told him, no, November would be a good time for Iowa to catch Penn State. You know, and I think so. I mean, I guess historically, when Iowa has good teams, it's better in November than in September. But I also think if Iowa played this Penn State team 10 times on a neutral field, it wouldn't win very many. And you could substitute some other team's name for Iowa and say the same thing. Okay, Penn State's out of the way. There's no Penn State in the Big Ten West, and that includes Wisconsin. Wisconsin doesn't have an offense like that. It doesn't have a running back like that. It doesn't have a quarterback like that. So there's not a game left on Iowa's schedule it can't win, including Ohio State at home. But there are also plenty that it could still lose. However, I think now, in hindsight, that if you had taken Iowa over on 6.5 wins, which was the number this summer in Vegas, you'd have to feel pretty confident.
Yeah, after watching that game, that question might have seemed a little bit ridiculous, but in the first three games, there were warts for Iowa, and even in this game, there were warts, so you don't know.
Yeah. No, you don't know. You don't know. But some players are coming along. I mean, the offensive line is, I mean, I don't know, you know? I know Penn State's got a good defense, but you're under 300 yards at home.
Yeah.
That's where the game was lost. Guys, part of the reason that Penn State had that 579-yard number is because they had 99 plays, because Iowa on first down was getting nothing the whole game long until that quick strike to Easley for a touchdown late in the first half. I mean, nothing. Akram Wadley was running nowhere, and the play for a safety was sort of an embarrassment to that offense, I thought.
Yeah, they had bad field position, too, to boot.
Right, but, you know, I give them credit. They kept pounding away, and you know, Akram Wadley doesn't stay silent for four quarters, apparently. And, again, talent, you know. Go back and watch Wadley's two touchdowns. I mean, he had help from the offensive line on the second one. Of course he did. There was a hole there.
Yeah, and but, a good play call.
Yeah. That Iowa hasn't had a running back with his skill set since Ronnie Harmon. Hmm.
That's very good praise. Very good praise right there. Hey, let's turn our attention to Thursday.
Yeah, since Mike likes to write on deadline so much.
Yeah, you get another chance. How big a game is this for Iowa State in the grand scheme of what Matt Campbell is trying to do?
Oh, I think it's big.
I think it's big, too.
I mean, they want to... Campbell is like every other coach in the world. They talk about growth. They talk about improvement, culture, blah, 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 blah. You want to go to bowl games, you want to win games. You want to win games, you want to beat win games on national television. You want to beat teams with the names like Texas. Well, they didn't get Iowa. But I figure that before the season that they had to beat either Iowa or Texas if they're going to go to a bowl game. Well, now it's got to be Texas. Is it a winnable game for them? Sure it is. I mean, they're only underdogs by 4 or 5 points. Texas just lost an offensive tackle who was one of the best tackles in the country. They looked awfully good at USC in their last game, but, you know, these things change from week to week. They do have a head coach who knows how to score points and aims. Tom Herman was Iowa State's offensive coordinator that night in 2011 when they knocked off Oklahoma State. So it's a challenge, but, you know, I think the atmosphere over there, for as long as Iowa State's in that game, ought to be pretty similar to what we saw in Kinnick Saturday night.
I think it's going to be fun, and we'll have the game on Thursday night here on 1600 AM. And Mike, we're plumb out of time, man. But you know, hopefully the Thursday night's game in Ames will be as fun as Saturday night's was in Iowa City last Saturday. So, and maybe hopefully Iowa State will get a win in this one.
Yeah, and I'm going to offer my 2 cents on your topic.
Go
before,
ahead.
And I'm going to say that some of the comments you got from people I disagree with.
Mm-hmm. About sports and news together?
Just because I'm not going down that rabbit hole with you guys.
Is it a sports or...
I disagree with some of the things I heard.
Is it a sports or a news story?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
I don't see how you can deny it.
You know, what was Jackie Robinson, a sports and a news story?
Yep.
Yeah, you know, everything's tied in. Sports, look, this isn't... I have had a luxury in my life that I've been to some other countries, and I haven't been anywhere else where people are this nuts about sports. So this is, you know, anytime anything happens, it's a fuse waiting to be lit.
Yeah.
But the trouble is very few of us have open minds, you know, to listen to the other side's opinions.
Very well put. Very well put. Rita Stuff.
And I certainly don't want to hear what you've got to say, Scott.
Except for my check is in the mail to you.
Yeah. Oh, hey, I'm all ears.
Still think Justin Thomas should get that money.
Sander Schauffele? God.
Oh, man. Read his stuff at Halas on Twitter and at thegazette.com. Mike, appreciate it as always.
Okay.
All right. We'll take a quick break, come back, and have more of the gym class coming your way on KGYM right after this.
At Nationwide, our agents go above and beyond to understand and protect what matters most to you. Our local Nationwide agents are part of our member-driven community, where serving members' needs is our priority. Contact True North Personal Lines at itruenorth.com today. Nationwide is on your side. Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio. Subject to underwriting guidelines, review, and approval.
You know I love Dollar Shave Club's razors, but did you know they offer so much more? Everything for your hair, face, skin, and shower delivered right to you. And right now you can try it all. You can get their first month starter set, which includes travel size shave butter, body cleanser, butt wipes, and a month of their best razors for just $5. After that, replacement cartridges ship for just a few bucks a month. Don't miss out. Get your starter set for just $5 today exclusively at dollarshaveclub.com/Jones. That's dollarshaveclub.com/Jones.
Travel back to our future during the Swamp Fox Festival in Marion, Friday through Sunday. Friday, watch Back to the Future on the big screen in Lyle Park. Saturday starts with a 5K run walk, pancake breakfast, and Swamp Fox Parade following a new route. Stop by the Fall Marion Market too. And that afternoon, head to Lyle Park for food, live music, games, and fireworks at dusk. And Sunday, it's the Classic Car Cruise Inn at Thomas Park. Don't miss the Swamp Fox Festival, Friday through Sunday. It's free. Details at cityofmarion.org/swampfox.
Because we have so many clients referring us to their friends, I think that's our biggest, best story. Hi, I'm Patty with Network Computer Solutions. I really think it's about us building that relationship and being an extension of their business. And even if I am just talking on the phone to them, you can see that smile on their face and know that another problem is solved.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Monday through Friday from 3 to 4. The Gym Class with UNASH and Dukes. KGYM.
Back with you at 3:55, and thanks to everybody for weighing in on the topic. Thanks to Mike Halas. Cal Eldred will join us coming up tomorrow, and we're also going to talk with a beat writer for the Texas Longhorns coming up tomorrow. Iowa State in Texas, that will be on Thursday. We'll have it at 5 o'clock on 1600 AM. That's a busy night. High school football as well with Linmar and Kennedy, and that's on 107.5 and 106.3 FM. Speaking of high school sports, Kristen Hanneman joining us from Kirkwood Community College here, and she's with the coaching authorization folks out there. Good to see you.
You too.
How you been?
Pretty good.
Must mean it's fall if you're here, right?
Yes, I guess so. Doesn't feel like fall out, though.
No, it does not. Tomorrow it'll feel like fall a little bit more anyway. But how's everything going as far as the authorization programs and everything at Kirkwood?
Pretty good. Yeah, we have the consistent Iowa City and Cedar Rapids classes every single month in different locations. So, yeah, it's going good. Some new updates this year, too.
Sure.
The state has mandated, or the Board of Educational Examiners has mandated, that all coaches have to have their CPR certificate in order to be a coach as well. So that's a new thing starting in June. So even if you're trying to renew your coaching authorization, you'll have to get CPR. And that certification lasts for 2 years for your CPR. So that's something new. That's going on with the coaching stuff. We've added a coaching class. So typically our classes happen Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And then Fridays are 5 to 10:30, but we've added a 2 to 4:30 class just for CPR. So for those people that still need CPR, they can kind of get it right before they get the coaching authorization.
Authorization involves what?
So there's four different elements that are in the coaching authorization program. They learn about theory and ethics, human body function, human growth and development, and prevention and care. Those are the four things that are mandated by the state. So once the students learn all of those different activities and then their CPR, they can be they can coach sports within Iowa, the state of Iowa.
Yeah, and we're seeing more and more non-teachers coaching, head coaching, a lot of assistants out there. And I think that number is, you've seen it firsthand. I think it's just growing and growing exponentially each and every year.
Yeah. We see a lot of non-teachers that are wanting to get their coaching authorization. There still are some teachers that are getting it too. And there's a different kind of pathway that they have to take if they're already a teacher. But yeah, we have probably the majority of our students are all non-teachers.
You have to recertify how often?
Every 5 years you need to recertify. And there are different activities that you need to do for that. So if you attend some rules meetings or coaching clinics, obviously getting that CPR certification counts as some of the different activities that you need to do to complete it. You can let your authorization lapse. So if it's been 6 years, that's fine. You just still have to take those, I think it's 5 activities in order to renew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also, we talked about this a little bit last time you were here, but more and more sports getting into concussion prevention and things like that, seeing it from a distance. And I know you guys are working with that as well.
That's correct. Yes. So either if you're renewing or getting your first time license, you do have to do your concussion certificate online. So in the class portion, we do it right inside the 55 hours that class meets. Otherwise, when you're renewing, you can go to a website and get your concussion certificate. But that is a very crucial part of the coaching authorization, and they take it very seriously that all students and potential coaches are aware of what to do if there's a concussion on the field.
Yeah, give folks the website out there because there's a ton of information out there.
Yeah, it's www.kirkwood.edu/coaching.
It's very simple.
Very simple.
It is that simple. And how often do you have the classes?
We have them about twice a month. So the first and second weekend of the month are going to be in Iowa City, and the second and third are in Cedar Rapids. So if you're kind of planning ahead, you can always kind of think of that schedule that we follow.
So, awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. And it doesn't matter if you're in the south end of the corridor or the north end of the corridor.
That's correct. And we do have our online-only option as well. So if you want to take, live in somewhere that's kind of far away and you still want to get your authorization, you can take it online through our program too. So that has all the 4 classes that you'll need to take. They are all separate as well. So say you went to college and you already took an ethics class. You then don't have to take it on the online portion. You can just take the other 3. So you can kind of opt out of a few classes if you take the online only option.
There you go. Many different ways to go through this.
Yep. Yep. We try to make it as easy as possible and give you lots of different options to get your authorization and so you can get on the field and coach.
Awesome. And the website one more time in case people were looking for a pen and a pencil.
Okay. Yep. It's www.kirkwood.edu/coaching.
Yeah. Look it up there or give you guys a call for more information. What's the number out there?
Yeah. It's 319-398-1022, and that's phone and registration. So they're there from Monday through Friday, 8 to 5.
There you go. All the information you need right there to get your coaching authorization.
Yeah.
Hey, appreciate it, Kristen. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you always, for having me.
Always good to see you.
Yes, definitely.
Mark.
Yes.
Real quick, we have a poll question at KGYMradio.com.
We do indeed. Brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. Is Saquon Barkley the Heisman Trophy front runner after Saturday night? It's a yes or no question, and thanks to Emil's Hideaway and First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids next to Home Depot and behind Taco John's.
Yes. and you won the pick 6 again.
Yeah, we don't need to get into that.
You won again.
It's 3 out of 4 weeks, people. So
and I won the other one.
Yeah.
So we're dominating.
Gym class gains a game on the Todd Bromekamp Show with Alex Kuhn, so life is good.
All right. And real quick, let's get this in. We're going to get to the Todd Bromekamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming up. This is Brett from State College who's calling in. Of course, State College is the home of Penn State University.
Yeah.
And we wanted to get Brett on real quick before we departed here today. Hi, Brett. How you doing?
Good. How are you guys?
Doing great. What a game Saturday.
Well, I'll tell you what. You know, I grew up with Penn State. I lived next door to Jerry Sandusky. I went to school with Jay Paterno, Joe Paterno's son. And that's probably the best defensive game that I've seen Iowa play in quite a long time. They, I think they did a really fabulous job against the, against State, and we got lucky, and you got to admit that.
Well, sometimes when you have a season like that, you have a game like that, though. So,
yeah. Well, I watched it from beginning to end, and actually, I left the room on the last play. I never figured we'd score. I like Kirk Ferentz a lot, and he did. I think they did a great job. And towards the end, they were actually finishing plays. In the beginning, it just seemed like they didn't want to finish them, and then Penn State just got lucky.
Well, Brett, hey, appreciate the phone call, and you have a good day, all right?
Yes, sir. You too now.
All right, and there's the final word on the show here today. We took a little time from Todd and Alex's show. We apologize. We're going to get right to them coming up here as you're listening to the Gym Class on 1600 AM, 107.5 and 106.3 FM, KGYM, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City. Have a great, great day, everybody.
Stupid rubber duck. Oh, I bet this is Mariota's room. Whoa, I get that he went to Oregon, but a pond-themed room seems a little weird. I was just looking for Mariota.
Hey, what's going on out there?
I told you we should have just gone to HeismanHouse.com, but no.